Channel 1 over. This is Channel 1 over. This is Channel 1 over. Beginning of Channel 1 over. And I think Cook is coming in. This is Saturday night, 8th of February, 1970. Saturday night, about supper time, the 28th of February, 1970. Beginning of Channel 1 over. Saturday, about supper time, 28th of February, 1970. But Cookie couldn't come in. He came in, but he couldn't stay. He hadn't eaten a meal at home in 3 days, he said. And he and Frank went on home. He came in and ducked out. And we didn't press him. So now this is a week later, except it's Sunday, the 8th, I guess it is, 8th of March, 1970. Sunday, the 8th of March, 1970. It rained yesterday, rained all night, and still raining. So we won't plow any. The flats is swamped. Water's way standing down there. And over there in the upper flats pasture, we plowed a little bit where it's too wet to plow. And here it is. The first week of March is gone. And we wanted to get that millet in by the 15th. So he said he'd come on over. I called him a while ago. He said he'd come on over. So I've been knocking around outside, and I thought I'd better come in and set up. And this is Channel 1 over, about 15, and the Sunday, the 8th of March, 1970.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. That wouldn't have helped much, would it?
No.
Yes, had that place to be like been living in the dark all this time.
Yeah.
See, I'm all damp just from being out there, not in the rain. I didn't get damp out the rain. I got damp out there in the shed.
Yeah.
Just enough to get the roots in.
We got light simmers that in the living room.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You have to get up there and take that thing down and clean it about every so often because it sure collects the dirt.
Well, it's easy to clean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
No trouble to get to. Who is the man up there now? Your friend up there at the tractor place, that thing?
Never think of it.
Oh, that's no, Tom. That's not to go by.
Tom.
Now, he's not one of your neighbors out there.
No. No, I just know him for a pretty good while. Schmidt. S-C-H-M-I-D-T.
Tom Schmidt.
Schmidt.
Yeah.
You know him?
No, I never saw him before. He nice looking Tom.
Schmidt. Schmidt. Yeah, he's
Does he farm?
Sir?
Does he farm a little?
Oh yeah, he farm a little bit. And how come he get acquainted with him? He his brother married a girl from over there in Hawthorne, see.
Yeah.
And I got acquainted with him through his brother there that married that girl in Hawthorne.
Is he mechanical?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's mechanically inclined.
Mm-hmm. He can look at a piece of machine and know what's wrong with it?
Yeah.
Cookie, what are they gonna do with Granddaddy's shop? It's just sitting over there now?
Yeah, I've got most of it over my house. Most of the whatever he didn't want to keep, he gave it to me. I'm gonna tear it down probably next week and move part of it down here and part of it over to my place. Bring about half of the tin and about half of the siding and two befores and what have you down here.
There over at your house, you need whatever you've got there, you need to lock it up, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
You're all gone so much of the time.
Yeah, I have to lock it up.
What all has he got?
What, in the shop line?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, he has a big grill press.
Yeah.
Electric grill press.
You don't take sugar?
No. I'm going to... eventually, I'll get it, but I can't get it right now. Not till after I talk to his daughter and his son again. Then I'll get the... I'll get that grill press. And I may get his bench saw. I got his jigsaw.
Yeah. He was a pretty good carpenter.
Yes, sir. I got two chairs in my living room that he built out of red cedar. Helen told you about.
No.
Yeah. I got two chairs. One platform rocker and one straight chair that he built out of red cedar.
Yeah. But he built house out there. He built houses too.
Yeah, he built one out at Redwater Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And he built his own house.
Yeah.
And he built the room on the house I live in. He built one room on it.
Oh, did he?
The living room, yeah. He built that on there. 3 years before I bought the place.
Oh, really? Cause what happened to him? He just afraid to go to the doctor?
Well, I tell you, after his son got killed 2 years ago, he started going downhill, worrying.
Yeah.
And he worried himself till he got, you know, you can worry yourself till you get sick.
Yeah.
Well, he got sick. And then he started smoking cigarettes, just chain smoking. He didn't drink. He just smoked one cigarette right after another.
Yeah.
And, then he had a light heart attack sometime. He had to, because on his death certificate, they put on his death certificate, in other words, it meant a lingering heart ailment.
Oh.
Now, see, his daughter is a registered nurse in Jacksonville, and she could read the medical terms that they use and break it down to where we could understand it, and that's what she said that meant.
Oh. I don't know whether I knew his daughter was a registered nurse or not.
Yeah, registered nurse.
Well, has she come back over there, Caitlin?
Oh, yes. Yes, she's there over there this week, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're over there this weekend.
Well, what happened to your prospect who was looking at your place?
They haven't come back from North Carolina yet. I wish they'd prospect on back. Because I found me a house trailer I can buy. 10 foot wide and 40 feet long, 2 bedroom, completely furnished. That I can buy a song and sing everything but the chorus myself.
Is that right?
$1,600.
Good night, good cookie.
And it's a 66 model.
Not wore out.
Not wore out.
You know, they said that old trailer Miss Guthrie got was wore out. All the plumbing and stuff. They had just sort of redecorated, painted, put carpet down. That's cheap, you know.
Well, what'd they get it for?
Well, you see, it's complicated. They don't, not much going on over there, you see, in the, this season. And they have expenses and all like that. And they get to figuring, you see, if Marvin goes up there and hires out, it'll bring a little money in. And then Ms. Guthrie gets sort of nervous about it. Don't want to stay there by herself. And she had these relatives, this little girl, a boy, just got married. Oh, I've heard tell about that several times. And they got them out there. And they're living in the house with them, you see, and they've never had their young people around, and especially that sort. And they had a radio and a television. An electric guitar and a stereo. And she said one of them was going all the time. And the thing that Ms. Guthrie had the most respect for was that stereo, because it seemed to have more noise in it than anything else. And she had them shingles coming on. They must have been pretty tense out there for a while, and they just, one Sunday, I think it was, Saturday or Sunday, they got in the car and were going over there to Louise Graham, and they have to go by that interchange, making up the interchange. And there was that trailer park there for sale. They went over there and bought it. They didn't, I said to them, Ms. Guthrie, I told you about that. How'd you know you get any money for it? She said she wasn't interested. I told you that several times. She wasn't interested in getting the money's worth then. She just owned the house trailer. And now she can't get the title. And he don't have a title. Now tell me about that, Cookie. How would he have that house trailer and no title?
All right, he has bought that trailer. He has got that trailer from somebody that, whoever he bought that trailer from still owed money on it, or the bank was a holding the title, or the finance company was a holding the title with a lien on it. And in case he don't know it, that's a $500 fine for selling a piece of mortgage property.
Oh.
And if he sold it, he'd be liable.
He's liable.
And the fellow that sold it to him would be liable.
Right. And if Marvin and Miss Guthrie is to sell it, they'd be liable again.
Yeah. whether they knew it or not, just so they didn't have a title. They got to have a clear title.
They had a clear title.
Well, now, how does that work with automobiles?
Same way.
You can't just pass them around one fellow to another?
Under certain conditions, you can pass an automobile without it going into your name, but you still got to have that title.
Well, as long as you got the title.
Yeah.
And it's and you wouldn't have the title if there's a lien on it.
That's right. Just like the title for that Ford station wagon. I've got it in my pocket.
Yeah.
It's signed and notarized, and it was in my name. And those people down there wanted it, and I let them have it, and they couldn't do nothing with it, and I had to go get it. I signed it over. But I made them sign a power of attorney along with the title, so that and I signed a power of attorney for them to go ahead and sign their name on it and put it into their name, but still I held the paper because I still got, they still owed me $84 on it when I went and picked it up.
You put it in their name, but you kept the You kept the paper.
And we transacted on power of attorneys, each one of us, see. Made everything legal.
Oh.
And he signed the contract, which I filled out for him.
Yeah.
You have to be careful about those things, don't you?
You sure do. You can get in a whole peck of trouble over one of them.
Well, what was the matter, Cookie? He couldn't raise $84.
Well, he didn't want to.
He didn't want the car?
He thought the transmission was tore up in it.
Oh.
And I tried to tell him. I tried to explain to him. Oh, he had done that. I said, okay. You don't want the car? No. You want the truck? Yes, sir. Okay, we'll trade. I'll bring the truck down here and take the car back, and that'll be it. And, mister, as far as I'm concerned, that is it, because I ain't going to trade with him no more. Unless he's got the cold cash, then I'll trade with him. It's been too long.
How long was he owing you?
About 7 months.
Cookie, that's too long. That's just too long for a fella to have to, hold up on.
That little station wagon's a real good little car.
Well, now, what all have you done to it?
I put seals in the transmission.
How much trouble is that?
About 2 hours work to put seals in the transmission. Mm-hmm. But first of all, to find out if it was a transmission or not, I worked about 15 minutes. Pulled a pan down on the transmission, took 17 bolts out with my air wrench, and pulled a pan down on the transmission, pulled a filter down, put an O-ring on it, which he had left out. A little rubber O-ring about 5/8 of an inch in diameter. And I put it back up, and it worked perfect. And then I seen the transmission was good, so I started working from there. I put a muffler. I put in a new battery. I put seals in the transmission. I had the front end checked and lined. Everything done to the front end.
Frank liner for you?
Yes, sir. And put two tires on the rear.
Two snow tires?
Yeah. What else did I do with that salt and pepper? Yeah, greased it. I changed the oil in it. Changed the filter. Yeah, that's something that he hadn't done. He hadn't changed the oil filter. I changed the oil filter. Oil. And, checked the brakes. The brakes are all in good shape. Packed the front wheel bearings. Fixed the heater. It was leaking. Took it out. Fixed it. Fixed the air conditioner. It works.
Oh, it's got everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I fixed it. It was on there, so I fixed it. It had to work. If it's on there, it's going to work.
I ought to drive that around around the corner time or two.
Yeah.
I don't know why I didn't think of that.
I'm going to drive it down. I'm going to drive it to work tomorrow. And then I want you to take it. I want you to drive it for 3 or 4 days, two or three.
And you take this old Chrysler and see how it sounds. Yeah.
And
everything has been kept up on that Chrysler, Cookie. The springs, you know, in the back.
Yeah.
And it's got that little knock in the little catch in the motor. But it's been that way for a long time. I don't know what it is.
He got the car down there. Well, I done a valve job on it for him. It was skipping. And I done a valve job. Went down there and pulled the heads off of it now. Brought them back up here. Ground the valves. Cleaned them up. Took them back down there and put them on.
Why, good Lord.
Done a valve job on that engine. Put new plugs and points and everything in. One more thing I want to do to it. There's one more little trick I want to do to it. It don't act just right to me. I'm going to put a set of plug wires on it. The ones that are on there is kind of shoddy, you know? And I'm afraid it's dropping one now and then. Once in a while, you drive along and you can kind of feel it miss.
Yeah.
Now, I don't do it constantly. It'll just do it once in a while. Well, I believe it's dropping one plug. Never so often. So I'm going to put a set of plug wires on it. Them old graphite wires, you can't check them. When they're cold, well, they're all right sometimes. And when they're hot, they're all right sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just no way to check them. Where if you got a wire on there, you're going to know whether it's together or whether it's leaking down.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, you see, that's something that the car, used car people won't do. They can't afford to baby them like that.
No, uh-uh. No, just so they'll run and run off of that lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
99% of them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, me, if I sell somebody something, unless they want to buy it as is,
mm-hmm.
I want that particular vehicle or whatever I sell to be as near right as possible.
Now, Laura is taking a whole lot off of you now, Cookie. She's getting right responsible, isn't she?
Oh, yes.
She drives that big wagon of yours up there.
And if it needs to, she'll take that old truck of mine down there and go get a load of stuff wherever it needs to be gone. She can handle it just as well as she can at Dodge Station Wagon.
Is that right?
Yeah, she's learned to drive that 4-speed transmission. And that's going to take a big load off of me.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's going to be valuable to her, being able to just knowing how to do things like that.
Yeah, and she sure enjoys it. She sure does.
I'd hella never grow up without getting mechanical. She can do everything else.
She could drive too if she just calm herself.
Uh-huh.
But she's so easy. I mean, if everything don't work just right the first time, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't imagine that.
That's it. I mean, it. She just ain't gonna have no more to do with it.
Well, she don't have to now. She's got it.
And she ain't no shape to learn to drive now anyway.
Yeah.
Just no shape at all. She's just too nervous. She'd panic. I know she would if she'd happened to run into just a little bit of blunder, you know what I mean? I'd have to stop real quick. Well, she'd panic. Well, she'd run into everything.
Well, now she don't panic when she cooks a big dinner like that one that she brought over here, a picnic.
That she enjoys it. She really enjoys it.
And now she had all that pork.
Yes.
Now that pork was delicious. I didn't eat much of it because I don't need to eat much of it. But I had the rib, you see, and a little meat on that, and it was tasty. You can't beat that.
You know, I bought them two sides of loin from Copeland up lots of way. See, I buy them wholesale.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I bought that wholesale.
Hmm.
I paid 57 cents a pound for that stuff. I had to buy 25 pounds of meat to get it, to get them delivered wholesale.
Yeah.
I bought 9 pounds of bacon, one slab, and 2 pork loins. $16.40.
Hmm.
And if you went to the grocery store and bought it, you'd have paid $16.40 for one of the pork loins alone.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right or wrong?
Is that much difference?
You pay $1.32 a pound for pork chops, don't you?
That's pretty high. I don't think that much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, how do you manage that, Cookie? The man brings them right there to you?
Yeah.
Up at Hawthorne or in town here?
No, in Gainesville. You see, one of my real good customers is a salesman for Copeland Sausage.
Uh-huh.
Oh. And he can come by in there and let you have it whenever you want it.
Yeah. Well, I can send an order in on Wednesday and get my meat on Friday.
I see. Mm-hmm.
They deliver there in Gainesville every Friday.
Yeah.
But I can call order in on Wednesday.
Just telephone it in.
Yeah. And they'll deliver it on Friday.
To this particular fellow.
Yeah.
Well, that means you can eat just a little better, huh?
Yeah, just a little higher on the hog.
A little higher. But now he don't cook it. You see, Helen's the one that she's the doctor.
Yes, but I tell you, you see, now they kill those. They kill them on Wednesday and Thursday and deliver on Friday. It's really fresh.
Yeah.
And it don't turn black when you put it in the skillet.
Yeah.
Not frozen.
That's right.
Fresh.
It's fresh. You take most pork chops when you get them out of a grocery store, they'll turn dark when you put them in the skillet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's because they've been frozen and are been laying there in the cooler for so long that they just ain't good.
Well, now, how long will you, but you have to get 25 pounds.
I have to get 25 pounds. And it's not cut up. It's not cut. It's just a big, long loin, about that long.
How long it lasts?
Well, let's see. It's smoked bacon. And there's 9 pounds of the bacon. That'll last us about three weeks.
Oh, that much? Oh, 9 pounds, yes.
And pork, I think Helen's got enough for one more roast. Like she brought down here, you
uh-huh.
know. You know, we found that's better. It's better to fix it that way than it is to chop it up in pork chop.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
easier fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Then you still got the same meat.
Sure.
And it's easier fixed. So Wednesday, I'm gonna order some more Wednesday.
That'd be my choice. I'd take it like that, roast. Yeah, so that's rich. That's fine. You know, man don't need to eat much of it. You know, the way people live now, cookie, they don't need a whole lot of energy.
No, because they don't.
They don't.
95% of people don't burn much energy.
They don't lift and do like they did. You know, be like Chinese, just have enough to sort of smack your lips.
Yeah.
They're both kinds of cabbage. How many dishes she had? A dozen?
I don't know.
Oh, I hate to count. I never saw so much.
I don't know.
Their children made some of them.
Yeah, they all get in the kitchen once in a while and cook. I don't know how much she had.
Oh, I was going around and taking a little of everything, you know. I can see that mistake.
Well, now, we eat supper down here, that night.
Uh-huh.
All right, now, she kept the leftovers.
Yeah.
And now, we eat out of it Monday night.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Sure, we had enough for to cook for Monday night.
Uh-huh.
So,
That's not bad.
When she cooks up something like that, well, she prepared the crucifix in a way where if it ain't all eaten, why, it won't hurt to hold it over.
I see.
So we can, it'll all be eat.
Yeah.
She don't throw out nothing.
Cookie, what happened to, tell me, I forget the details of that. I don't think Faye ever heard about that. What happened to Alvin Stanton?
Alan had him pinned up there in a pen.
Yeah.
With nothing but white sand for him to eat.
Oh.
Only with what grain he fed him. Well, he decided he would turn him out in the big woods.
In the woods. Where the cows.
With the cows.
Where the cows are on.
Well, he turned him out. He follows the fence around and he gets in runs up to another stallion, and they got to fighting over the fence, and they tear the fence down, and Alvin's horse gets over the man's yard, and just about eats the other horse up.
Oh.
I don't know what the man's name was, but anyway, he called the sheriff's department. The sheriff's department came out, picked Alvin's horse up, put him in the truck, and took him over to the corral over there where they keep their horses. And Alan had to go and post a bond and all that kind of junk. Then he had to go down and talk to the judge and high sheriff. Finally got his horse released. He went and got him. Took him home and tied him up to a tree. So he could find some place to put him. He ain't got no fence. And then they kicked it around. He went and talked to the man, and the man dropped the charges off from his horse, you know. He just dropped all the charges. But Alvin was slick enough talker till they talked him out of it that the other man's horse was in fault more so than Alvin's horse was. So when he done that, well, he had to drop all the charges, see. So Alvin got his bond money back, all but $14.50 pickup fee on his horse. So he's lucky.
Yeah.
He was lucky. But he still had to post that big bond until he got everything settled and the other man signed a release for his horse.
And he's got him tied to a tree.
He had him tied to a tree, and then Ronnie Brown had a breaking corral where he broke horses. He's got him in there.
Somewhere else, not out there on his place.
Not on his place. He's got him someplace else.
Well, what were the circumstances that he talked out of it?
He just made the other man believe that his horse was in the fault more so than Alvin's quarter horse.
Well, how could he do that? Alvin's horse was over on his side.
Yeah.
And the other horse was down.
The other horse was down, but the other horse had more barbed wire scratches on him. Alvin's horse didn't have the first barbed wire scratch. Not the first barbed wire scratch did his horse have. And the other horse would just eat up with barbed wire.
And Alvin's stallion couldn't eat him up with barbed wire.
No. So that proved to Alvin that the other horse got in the barbed wire first.
Oh, yeah.
And tore the fence down, then Alvin's horse walked out. That's just, to me, that's the way Alvin put it at him. Now, Alvin never did tell me.
Oh, he didn't?
He never did tell me exactly how he talked his way out of it. But he said he did.
But he didn't have to pay that $100.
He didn't have to pay that $100. He got that back. He had to post it. He had to give the sheriff's department that much money.
Uh-huh.
But then after they had settled it, and the other man had dropped the charges,
mm-hmm.
Well, they refunded his money,
mm-hmm.
and charged him $14.50 pickup fee for his horse.
And then Alvin had to go pick him up and bring him back?
And then Alvin had to go pick him up and take him back home, too.
Yes, another $14. Well, now, was that his neighbor?
That was his neighbor. That was his neighbor.
That's like some of your neighbors. But Alvin just went over and started talking to him.
Yeah, Alvin were like a man, was talking to him, trying to talk it out in a manly way instead of going to court.
Yeah.
And paying all that expensive court cost and everything like that, yeah. See?
And the court don't want it. They don't want the business.
They don't want to hear somebody else's troubles.
Well, I believe if I had a stallion, Cookie, I'd have a place to keep him. That's too tricky to have a stallion without a place to keep him.
That's just exactly. Now, I'd loved in the worst kind of way to have left Tony as a stallion.
Mm-hmm.
I had no place to keep him.
Uh-huh.
So I fixed him to where he wouldn't give nobody no trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And they do cut up.
They sure will. That any of them, I don't care. One time or another, they're going to cut up just a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't care how good they are, how well they're broke, they're going to show their self once in a while. There ain't no way of getting around it.
Well, Alvin just liked that stallion, couldn't he? He just likes that horse, doesn't he?
Yes, he likes it.
What does he do with it?
Nothing. Feed him. He might ride him once every 4 months. He ain't got a bit more use for him than I have, and I sure ain't got no use for him.
He uses them for breeding purposes every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
For somebody else.
And he's a good cow horse.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, somebody needs a good cow horse. He is a good cow horse.
brought him home and hitched him, tied him to the tree.
Yes,
didn't have nowhere to put him.
He was afraid to put him back in that field where he'd cut up to plant rye oats and everything to get to it. Because there wasn't nothing there for him to eat. And he had 2 feet of wire war around it.
Excuse me.
Y'all found something to do with my hay out here?
No. Cookie brought word from Marvin that he'd already contracted in Ocala for some citrus.
I tried my best to talk him out of buying that citrus pulp and come down here and get a load of hay. No, sir, he said, I've done contracting it and I'm going to go get it. What could I say? Citrus pulp ain't a, to me, there ain't nothing to it. Just a filler.
And costly at that.
That's right, you can buy corn. Well, I'd rather have one bag of corn as a half a dozen bags of citrus pulp.
I'd think so.
Smells good. Nice to have a little sack of it around just to smell it. Payne?
Yeah.
I wish it was just, let me tell you, it's 12:15. I wish we had something to set on the table. We could just sit here and eat.
Well, I'm going to fix, I've got a little steak here.
You have?
Yeah. Sure am.
Just a little steak.
Sure.
I'm doing good.
Sure.
Gosh, people.
I
and
sure.
I'll eat my goo.
Yeah, well, that's just what I was aiming to do.
Yes, sir.
Sure am.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's a windfall, that Copeland meat. And he'll bring you good peas, Cookie.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Bring me choice quality.
And you don't have to worry about it. And it don't turn black when you put it in the skillet.
No, sir. Laura made a remark about it. I cut some pork chops off of the first one that I cut. And Laura fixed them. They'll stay just as bright and white, you know,
yeah,
as you please. And they fixed them the way they always did the other pork chops. And she said, told Helen, she said, Mama, she said, why is it these pork chops, they don't look done, they're too white. And she took her fork and they were so tender you could cut them with a fork, you know.
Yeah.
And Helen said, well, them tender. She said, that's just the difference in the meat.
Yeah.
It's just the difference in the meat.
And if you, as long as you can do that, it wouldn't pay you to have your own meat, Cookie.
No, When I can get hooked up with Sunnyland, I'll get me some beef.
How'd that work?
They buy beef once in a while, you know. I'll get me some beef over there.
Oh, they get a supply and then you can get some from them?
Sunnyland Packing Company.
Oh, kind of.
Yeah, they're in Gainesville. Yeah.
Well, you know them too?
Yeah, I'll get me a side of beef for wholesale. But I'll have to buy a side.
That much?
Uh-huh.
You don't quite need that much.
No, but maybe I can find somebody that'll split a side with me.
Yeah. Again, your neighbor out there, he's got a big family. Has he You all were talking about slaughtering a hog or something. Did you ever do that? Well, what did he do? Just sell them on foot?
Yeah, he beat me out of mine.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, talked me right out of it. This week was off. Last week was real good.
But this week you did more mechanical work.
Yeah.
You'd rather do that anyhow.
Yeah, that's in my pocket.
Yeah.
And Monday I got a pretty good job coming in.
Who is that fella from across the street there, that heavyset colored man? Is he, he's always asking about something. Does he know, does he get anything done?
Oh, yes, yes. I've got to work on his car Monday.
Have you got the money?
Yes, sir. I did $66 worth of work on his car once before. And I said, when I get some more money, he said, I'll have you do some more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, do you get a little trade from over there at the hotel?
Oh, yes. I get a lot of gas trade. And I get quite a few service calls to go over there and crank an automobile.
Yeah.
See, I can run over there and in 5 minutes make $2.
Yeah. What do you do? Just lock the door while you're gone?
Just lock the cash register.
Yeah.
Stick the key in my pocket. And just jump across there.
I didn't talk about that. That's right. That's right. Always somebody's car won't start.
Yeah. And you know yourself, rather than be embarrassed so bad in the middle of the street or in the middle of a parking lot someplace, or you'd call somebody and give them $1.50, $2 to get your car cranked, you get on going.
I would.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I used to be, you know, a fella would go across there and do it just for accommodation.
Yeah.
But thanks to Carson now, nobody expects you to do it for nothing, do they?
No, they don't really. 90% of the time they'll give you a 50 cent tip. Charge them $2 and they'll give you 50 cents.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, it looks more promising where you are than it did when you went in there.
Yes, I've built it up. I've really built it up.
Now, when you went in there, you weren't too sure about that, could you?
No, I was kind of had shaky feet, but I made quite a few contacts.
What was your worst uneasiness there when you went in?
I knew I'd pump a little gas, but I didn't know how the repair work was going to pan out.
Yeah.
But you see, I made contacts, like the hotel there. I get their business.
Uh-huh.
Then I got on the good side of those bellboys. They'll send their repair work over there.
Yeah.
Okay. Out at Fat Boy's Barbecue. Out on Waldo Road. I'm pulling it from there all the way across to my station.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Then, the County Health Center down there by Lockwood General Hospital.
Yeah.
I've got their business.
Yeah.
Then there's two or three doctors over at the medical center. I've given them some real good service and real good deals, and they remember it. And they send people in. I want to talk to Cookie.
Yeah.
Then Metropolitan Life Insurance Company.
Yeah.
There's Miss Bond. I did some work on his car.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he sent me a brake job last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now that adds up, don't it?
It sure does. Then, this one of his secretaries, Beverly King. Beverly King, I don't know whether you all know her or not. She's Metropolitan Life Secretary. I got a oil change, grease job, front brake. Generator belt. What else did I do to her car? Oh yeah, muffler and an extension pipe. That went up for $56.61. It cost her. I gave him a break on the labor.
Cookie, did you ever know anybody who took an extra fan belt along with them?
Yes, sir.
You ever do it?
No, sir. But I saw lots of people have an extra fan belt with them.
Really does.
Especially these people that have Corvairs.
Oh, yeah.
And Volkswagens.
Yeah.
They carry an extra fan belt.
Stretch a minute. Mm. Oh, I enjoy this.
It's
7 hours.
Well, you know something? It's lightening up out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope it quits raining.
Your arm just might do something. I don't know what. In the past, how's that tower
going to work?
It's
going to
work fine, right?
Good. Good. He used it all up.
Is that right?
This doctor from Dr. Health Center. Health Department. He remarked on how well Frank was coming along and what nice, courteous service that he gave.
Uh-huh. Isn't that marvelous?
Then Fred Camp works for the State Road Department. He gave him a little key. Frank King go in his car and greets it. And he came in and said, "Daddy, I'm doing this right." And I said, "Yes, I'm sorry." And after Fred paid me, he turned around and gave Frank some change. I don't know how much he had left in his hand, but he gave Frank some change, tipped him for take care of the car here.
Who was that?
Fred Camp, one of my customers.
Yeah. Well, now, Frank can pick up a whole lot down there, can't he?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, learn a lot.
Oh, yes. Everybody remarked on how well he is, well, not everybody, but this doctor from down at the health department. He remarked how Frank had come along and the service and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Well, they appreciate it.
Oh, yes, yes. Clean the windshield, check the oil, clean the back glass, and stuff like that.
I tell you, Cookie, when they run across a young fella who's not smarty.
That's right.
I think they appreciate it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So, Frank, brought up right, he get along.
Well, I got to go wash some of this here dirt off my hands.
Yeah.
Right there, Cookie.
Run out of subject. Where'd you get that meat, Faye? You been saving that for Cookie?
I still throw 2 minutes steak.
Oh,
so
oh,
good.
Oh, yeah.
We just crazy about it. I don't know what you like. I think
that. Well, 2 minute steak?
2 minutes on a slide. You have a bite and see how you.
No.
Well, you know, they're so nice if you like them.
I don't want them. I don't need them. I'll eat them.
Then at night you see it. So. You can use it as a meat sometimes.
Cookie, you got enough metal now for your trailer. Any time you want to put it together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, who was that?
That.
Another one of your friends.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another one of my friends.
What was he dismantling?
Telephone tower.
How did you get in touch with him?
Well, he works for the telephone company.
Yeah.
And I built him a trailer.
Oh. He's not the one that you borrowed the electrical system from. No, he's a contractor.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, Yeah, that's R.W. Shaw.
What do you got in your mind for that payment? Right? You going to fix something you can take off?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I'm going to take it off. Fix it, we can take it off.
And you can see it in your mind?
Yes, sir.
Just got them posts to stick down in the brackets.
Yes, sir.
How many brackets you need? 3 on the side?
I'm going to put 4 on the side.
And then that 2-inch angle line?
Yes, sir. We'll put a piece of 3-inch angle line on the top. Got me a hole in that 3-inch angle line. Put my 2-inch angle line down through that 3-inch angle line with a bracket at the bottom.
Yeah. And each, what does the bracket look like? Would it be angled too? Or
yes.
Just round?
Be square. It'll be square.
What do you make that out of?
Make it out of about 2-inch flat iron. About 2 inches wide and about a quarter of an inch thick.
Just make a little box?
Yeah, just a little box. Take it in there and weld it.
Yeah.
You can't go no place.
Yeah. How long does it take you to do it? Put your mind to it. One day? You couldn't do it in a day.
Yes, I could frame it one day.
If you had all your time.
If I could devote all my time just to that one particular thing.
You'd do it in a day.
Yeah. Yeah, I sure could.
Excuse me.
Yes, sir.
This is some colored pumpkin pie. They raise money for the church. And on Saturday afternoons, they got dinner cooking. They got dinners over there and pies and cakes.
Where's this at?
Right up the road.
Yeah.
Yesterday they had fish and ham and chicken and vegetables, you know.
Yeah.
They went over and got some. And they are. Oh, they just sociable they can be and go and have a big time. Now, you don't know Reverend Williams.
In Hawthorne?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know where he lives?
Yes.
He's an enterprising fellow. I don't imagine he has any mechanical skill, but he can carpenter,
mm-hmm.
And put up stone, and he can work in vegetables over there. But I don't imagine he's has any mechanical ability. Very few of the colored people do have, do they?
No, very few.
Very few. Very few. Why is that? Why, you know, they all got old cars. They just don't, and they work on them, but they don't seem to know much.
That's right. They tear up more than they fix.
Yes.
At the end of Channel 1 Over, and the first real Cookie's visit at lunch on Sunday, the 8th of March, 1970, he came over Sunday morning. We fixed that fine new Harrah. It didn't take very long, and so we had time on our hands. Faye and Mamu came on back from Sunday school, and Cook and I came in here to see the new ceiling light. So we sat out at the table and talked, and pretty soon it's time to have a bite.